Well, thank you. Thank you, Vanessa and Rachel, for sharing. Really appreciate what you shared. Heartwarming, personal. And whose handphone? What's this? Thank you for the free handphone. Yeah, thank you for sharing. And you know, I echo what Susu said about, you know, as she reflected on her time with the two of you. I mean, not the, but it's just simply that the joy of every YPG leader or teacher is really to see the ones under them grow, to see them change. And that is perhaps the greatest joy that it can ever bring someone who serves the Lord in this capacity. And so, yeah, keep growing, keep learning, keep being challenged to learn what it means to be a disciple. All right, let us go to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon to ask for you to speak to us. Would you open our eyes to hear your voice, or open our ears to hear your voice, open our eyes to see your word. Teach us, Lord. Help us to learn. We pray and commit this time into your hands. In your Son's most precious name. Amen. Okay, so this afternoon, I will continue on the theme on discipleship. But I won't be touching what Pastor Ben has been covering with you. I believe he has been teaching you all about foundations, that's what Sister mentioned, and he has planned a whole series of messages. So I'm going to leave him to do that, you know, when he comes back, hopefully next week. But you know, today I just wanted to take this time and opportunity to share with you something personal from my own life, something that has stood out for me as I thought about this whole theme on discipleship. What is discipleship really about? You know, how can we understand discipleship? You know, we speak about wanting to be disciples of the Lord Jesus, but what does it really mean? Now, how can we learn how to be a disciple? You know, one of the best ways, or one of the ways that we can actually learn about discipleship is really when we look at the lives of people, of great servants of God, and to draw inspiration from them. Right, you know, it's looking at their lives to find out what is it that helped them to become the outstanding disciple, the outstanding servant of God. You know, we understand this whole idea of looking at people's lives. You know, when we think of the world outside, one of the top genres for non-fiction books is really biographies. Biographies are, you know, they sell well. And I'm not talking about those biographies which expose people, you know, like recently there's the Fear Trump in the White House kind of biographies. Or, you know, the Malaysian guy, the J-Lo, yes. You know, how this book that was released to, you know, share about the life that he had, you know, spending all the money partying with Paris Hilton. I'm not talking about those biographies, but I'm talking about biographies, lives, and inspirational stories of people, how they live their lives. Right, you know, everyone wants to understand what is it that made this person successful in life? You know, what is it that helped this person to become the businessman that he is, to become the entrepreneur that he is, to become that successful whoever? Right, you know, everyone wants to find out what is it that made them tick? What is it in their mind? What is the secret to their success? And that is why biographies, they sell very well. You know, one of the top-selling biographies in recent times is actually from a man called Howard Schultz. He's the Starbucks CEO. And he wrote a biography about how he made a comeback to Starbucks. You know, he was previously the CEO, and then he left to just be a chairman and, you know, be like the ambassador. And when Starbucks started going south, he made a comeback to become CEO. And you know, in the working world, in the corporate world, everyone knows that it's very hard for a CEO, a founder, to grow the company, leave the company, come back and take it to a greater height. Many a times these people fail. But Howard Schultz was one of the few that actually succeeded. And so after that, he penned down his thoughts on this book called Onward. And it's so like hotcakes. Everyone wanted to know what is it that made him successful? What is it that made him the person that he was? What is it that helped him to turn Starbucks around to become a much bigger company than it was when he joined it again? And you see, that is the power of reading about the lives of people, looking at the testimonies, looking at how their lives can actually inspire us. And this is how we can actually learn about discipleship as well. You know, not just simply by reading and by studying, but it's about looking at the lives and example of people, looking at how they have come to become the successful servant, the outstanding disciple of the Lord. And this afternoon, I just want to share with you one such example, a person who is very dear to my heart, an example that has really helped me to understand what discipleship is about. And it's this person called the Apostle Paul. You know, it's written in point two here, and that's the example we're going to look at today. You see, when I first came back to church 8 years ago, I became a Christian again. You know, for those of you who are not familiar with, who do not know me as well, you know, I was a Christian when I was 15 in another church. Then after a few years, I backslid, and I only came back to church when I was 22. So 8 years ago, it makes me 30 this year. Not very far from you. I tried. but you know, when I came back 8 years ago, I came back to church. You know, I really wanted to find out, how can I actually become successful? How can I succeed in my own journey of faith? How can I succeed in being that disciple of the Lord Jesus? Not the person that I was when I was a teen. You know, your whole life is just a series of up and down, series of high, go back down, up, down, up, down, until I just floundered out. How can I actually live a life that is able to learn how to be that disciple, to be that person that actually follows the Lord? And one of the most inspiring examples for me was the Apostle Paul. You know, he was a man who was just outstanding in every way. Right? We know that he is one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, born out of due time. And he wasn't just any other apostle. He was actually one of the most eminent apostles. You know, no one came close to him. The knowledge he had, the understanding, the faith he had, the manner in which he served, the ministries that he established, no one came close. He was there, bar none. And that was the example of a servant of God that I looked up to. But what was it that made him tick? What was it that helped, that made him the person that he was? What was that secret, as it were? You know, in the world, they speak about secret. The secret to your success. What's the secret? 5 secrets to make, I don't know, start a company, 5 secrets to do this, 7 habits of a highly successful life. You know, what is that secret? And we see here the secret can actually be found in Philippians 3. So today we're just going to look at Philippians 3. And we're going to take some time to look at one verse. Right? You see, Philippians, when Paul wrote the book of Philippians, the context was really that he was in prison, he was jailed, and he was coming towards the end of his life. And he wanted to help the Philippian church to learn how they could actually continue on in faith. Right? Some of them were discouraged that he had gone to jail, that he was in prison. And so the first chapter, he had to tell them that, you know, let me tell you, jail is actually not so bad. There was actually the furtherance of the gospel. And he began to help them to see and understand how they could move on. But one of the special things about the book of Philippians is actually Paul penning down his own testimony, his own example, his own personal example for himself. What was it? What was the secret of his own life? What was the thing about his life that made him that apostle? And today we're just going to look at this verse here. You know, he wrote this to encourage his readers, and also not only to encourage, but to inspire them to follow him. That as he shared these words, it was not just something to record, but it was really for every reader out there to follow. And today we look at Philippians 3. And we're going to look at verse 10 itself. All right? And we see here verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And you see, this was the heart of it. This was the thing, the key for Paul. how did he become that apostle, that minister, that servant of the Lord, that great disciple that had no one else close to him? It was actually found in these five words here. The first five words of verse 10, that I may know him. Can you see this? You see, when the word here, that I may know him, it seems like it's a bit passive, right? You know, like, that I may, you know, I may, you know, may I do this? Instead of, I want to do this. You know, that we use it politely, right? May I? And, you know, when we see a word like that, you know, that I may know him, it doesn't quite bring out what it's actually meant to communicate. When we look at the Greek in the Bible, the word, the tone and the sense behind the idea of know, is actually one with a very strong purpose. Right? You see here, the I may know just seems like a casual thing, right? Maybe I can have, maybe not. Will you like this? Maybe, maybe not. But here when Paul says this, he actually means that, you know what? This is my purpose in life, that I want to know Christ. And from that purpose that he has found for himself, it then became a pursuit in his life. Can you see that? What drove him? What helped him to pursue is actually the purpose. And the purpose that he had for his life, the mindset that he had, the life that he had, is actually that he may know Christ. To know the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what was in his mind. Now you see, when we read this phrase, that I may know him, some of you may be wondering, like, what does it mean to know Christ? What did Paul mean when he said that I may know him? Right? You know, doesn't Paul already know Christ? Right? I mean, he is an apostle, he preaches the gospel, he's a teacher of the word. You know, doesn't he already know Christ? But you see, when Paul said this idea of knowing Christ, it was not so much that he did not know Christ and wanted to know Christ. It wasn't just talking about a basic level of knowing Christ. But he was looking at something so much more than that. He was looking at something deep, something profound, something that he did not have. Right, you know, going back to the context of this, when he wrote these words, where was he? He was in prison. At what stage of his life? Towards the end. And yet at that point, you know, having been successful in ministry, having built so many churches around in the Gentile regions, the one thing that was still very much on his mind towards the end of his life, that I may know him. Right, it's about knowing Christ. You know, when we speak of knowing, it comes with different connotations, right? You know, you can say that, you know, I swim, right? I swim. My exercise is swimming. And so I swim, right? I can swim. You know, that's swimming. But then Joseph Schooling also can swim. And that is swimming, right? That's swimming and swimming. I think if I swim next to him, by the time I reach there, he would have done four laps. And you know, that is how we understand it, right? You know, when we speak of service also, right? We serve in church. Some of us are serving in custodial. So we serve in church. But then when we look at Pastor Charlie, he serves in church also. You know, the idea of serving carries totally different ideas. And this is what it means to know. The knowing here is not just simply talking about something basic. It was something profound, something that was far-reaching. No one had the knowledge of Christ as Paul did. But you see, despite being that apostle with the knowledge bar none, he was still seeking to know Christ so much more, more and more in his life. Right, if we take a look at this, right? Now, how did Paul come to know Christ, right? We just take some time to think about his life, his testimony. How did he come to know Christ? And it really began with no faith, right? We know that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He started as a very religious man. You know, he prided himself for that religion, and he thought he was very righteous. And because of that, he started to persecute the Christians, right? He threw them to jail. He thought that they were wrong. He thought that his way was the only way. But when he came to believe in the Lord Jesus, that's when everything changed. Everything changed for him. I mean, he went to Damascus, he was being blinded by the Lord Jesus, spoke to him, 3 days blindness. And then after that, that's when life began to change. He came to discover Christ. But you see, Paul did not just simply stop there. He did not. He did not just simply stop at that level of knowing Christ. He could have, right? I could have known Christ, thank you so much, and that's it. Right? Many of us, we understand that when we think of friends out there, when we think of maybe perhaps even our own life, you know, after we come to believe in the Lord Jesus, that's it. Okay, the job's over. No, I've done my job. I found Jesus, I've known Jesus, and now I put him in the like a book in the shelf, and that's it. But I see for Christ, for Paul, it was never like that. He did not look at life that way. For him, what was it in his mind? It was actually to know Christ. And so he began to pursue, right? Spent 3 years in, you know, hidden, studying, understanding the faith, became that teacher, became that missionary, followed Barnabas. Then after that, he eventually became the apostle to the Gentiles, planting churches, building churches, leading them. And throughout that whole part, he was just simply having that focus to know Christ. What does it mean to be a disciple? It is to know Christ. And that was Paul's mindset. I just want to know him. I don't just want to know the basics of him. I don't just want to know what he has said. I want to really know him. I want to know his person. I want to know his power. I want to know every single thing about him. You see, for Paul, being distinguished in his faith was not just simply about the number of churches that he planted, but it was actually found here in verse 10, right? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You see here the movement, right? First to know him, know the saints of Christ, the person of Christ. Then after that, the power of Christ, right? The power of his resurrection, that same power that resurrected Christ from the dead, is the very same power that he wanted to know in his life. Now, if that is the power that can be given to us, I want to know it. I want to know that power that is found in Christ. And from there, I don't just want to know the power. I don't just want to know the person of Christ. I want to be so identified with him. I want to be so close to him, identified with him. It's like I enter a fellowship with him in every single part of his life. That's why he says a fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. All the way, I want to just be identified with Christ, even to death. Right? That's the very idea in 2 Corinthians 4. Right? And you see, this was Paul's mindset. What was the drive? What was the secret to his success? What was the one thing that drove him to become, to move from that stage of discovery to the stage of development, to the stage of being distinguished? What enabled him to grow like that? It was just simply because of this one singular goal that he had in life, to know Christ, that I may know him. Everything about his life is just about knowing Christ. You're sure there are many other things out there, but you know what? My mind, my heart, my spirit, all that just geared towards knowing Christ. And that is essentially what it really means to be a disciple. Right? What can help us? What drives us to become the disciple that we are meant to be? What enable us? And it's very much this. You know, when I look at my life and I think about how, you know, I think about this whole idea of being the disciple, what was it that stood out? It was this example of Paul. You know, this is one of the texts that have become so personal to me over the years. Because this was the very text that drove me each time. You know, I ask myself, what is it about being a Christian? You know, what can make me that kind of Christian that will stand strong, that will stand steady, that will have a life that was much more than just simply saying that I'm a Christian, I go to church. You know, being a disciple is not about that. Not about going to church, not about just simply reading the Bible. It's not about doing all these things. What is it about being a Christian that transcends the things that we do? And here is the mindset. This is the focus. And you know, this was something that I wanted to learn for myself. In my own heart, I really wanted. I remember at the end of my first youth conference, I spoke to Pastor Mitch, and I told him that, you know, I was very scared. You know, that youth conference was where my life was being, you know, the Lord spoke to my heart and helped me to see that this was the first time that I've ever understood the love of the Lord Jesus in forgiving me of my sins. And at that point, right, I came to discover the Lord. I came and, you know, it spoke to my heart so much. But where am I to go after that? How am I actually meant to progress from there? Right, I remember I spoke to Pastor Mitch and I asked him, Pastor Mitch, I'm very scared. I'm very scared that I'm going to leave. I'm very scared that this is going to be the same experience that I had when I was a teen. How can I move? How can I actually do? I had a lot of problems in my life. You know, I saw the problems in my life. There was a relationship problem. There was friendship problems. There was my own desire for success in the world. There were all these things out there. And I just didn't know how to move forward. How to move forward. And Pastor Mitch just told me, just focus on Christ. Just look to Him. Seek to know Him. Get to know Him. Do what you can to know Him. Just learn to make that your goal in life. Just focus on Him. And that was something that I tried to do. You know, I tried to make that, you know, after discovering Christ, after recognizing the richness of His grace and His love, how can I not, right? How can I not give myself to know Him? I mean, for the one who died and bled for me, how can I not give my life to at least find out more about Him? And so that began an initial small desire to want to know Christ. And I realized that along the way, as I set that as my focus in life, I wouldn't say that I started out, wow, boom, you're like up there, you know, you want to know Christ. No, there were struggles. But it was something that I kept coming back to again and again. And I found that when I learned to set Christ as my focus, to know Him, not just basic knowledge, but to know the person of Christ, you know, that began to change the very way I saw my life. You see, purpose, pursuit, what was it about? And what is it about purpose and pursuit? You know, mine, I wanted to follow the footsteps of Paul, to be able to say that I may know Him, to be able to find that purpose. And when I, and changes started to come, you know, changes which I, the problems that I had, that I thought I could not deal with, you know, I found the ability to deal with them when I learned to set Christ, knowing Him as my focus. Right, one of the things that helped, that I found myself out of is my friends, the company that I kept. You know, this company that I kept, they were like best buddies, friends that I grew up with since secondary school. Pastor Ben was in the same group, but he was very wise, he left earlier. So I was still stuck with them, right? And you know, every Saturday night, we will always go out and we hang out till late. Like we don't really go clubbing a lot, right? But one of the things that we like to do is find a nearby pub to go drinking. Like, you know, have some beers, have some drinks, and then we'll stay up, chit-chat all the way to 1, 2 a.m. on Saturday nights. And before I came to know the Lord, again, that was my life. You know, to me, my Saturdays were the very things that I was looking forward to. You know, the weekend has come. What is it about the weekend? Spending time with those friends. And when I came to discover the Lord Jesus in my life, this was the very thing that I was concerned about. Okay, now I've discovered the Lord. But I have these friends, bosom buddies, you know, bosom buddies. And you know, we are like meant to be so, you know, we talk about how we're going to buy apartments or flats near each other so that we can hop over to each other's houses. You know, these are friends that I felt really close. Yeah, I mean, I know it's quite funny, right? A bunch of guys doing that, but... And, you know, I just couldn't understand how I could actually wean myself off them. But when I learned to make knowing Christ the focus in my life, when I tried, I said, okay, Pastor Mitch, I'm going to listen to you, I'm going to try. And slowly, bit by bit, I found that I was actually able to. You know, the more I spent time with them after that, I began to find that there was just not much connection there, you know. You know, that sense of closeness or the sense of companionship with them was just something that started to fade for me. I can't explain it, but when I trace it, it's just simply because our focus, our purpose, our pursuits in life are now different. Mine, starting to move towards knowing Christ. Theirs is still simply, I don't know, wasting time, drinking, whatever. And so every week when I had those late nights with them on a Saturday night, I always go back just feeling like, I just wasted a few hours doing nothing much, and then I'll go to church on Sunday feeling very tired. And that's when I began to say that, you know what, maybe it's time for me to learn, to slowly cut back, pull back. And within the year that I came to Bethany, I stopped hanging out with them. And he started to ask, like, oh wow, you became holy, you became Christian. I mean, they themselves are Christians. I mean, they go to church, but to them it's like, I mean, this is just a part of life, right? Nothing more than that. But for me, that was not what I was looking for. I wanted to know Christ. I wanted to know who he is. More than just simply knowing the things that he taught, but it's just knowing him. Another area of my life that changed was the way I look at my own pursuits in life, the careers and the things that I wanted to do. You see, I was a very ambitious person. You know, I wanted to make it big, I wanted to succeed, all these things. And so in that pursuit, I joined a business club in school. Right, we represent the school for business competitions. It's very intensive, but it's supposed to be good for your resume, good for networking, good for a lot of things. And so it came a point in my university, in my third year, that one day my president came up to me, and she said, I need to talk to you. And so I said, okay, let's talk. And she said that, you know what, we discuss among ourselves, the seniors, the alumni, on who is going to take over my role as the president of this club. And we want to actually offer you the presidency, you with another guy, so that both of you will co-lead the club. And you know, this is something that, you know, it's a good opportunity for you. You can get to network more with them, you can grow more, you'll look very good in your resume. You know, all these things. I mean, the alumni in this business club, they were all in the top companies in Singapore. You have your top banks, you have your top consulting firms, you have your top brands. They're all there. And you know, to get to know them, to network with them, will open up doors for possible internship opportunities. And that was how it was. And so, you know, I was thrilled, right? It's like, wow, so humbled to be offered this. And then I went back and I spoke to Pastor Mitch about it. You know, I told Pastor Mitch, you know, my president of my CCA came to ask me to take over. You know, what do you think? And he told me this, and I never forgot that. He just very clearly put out my life. Okay, Eugene, look at your life. One, you have studies. Two, you have church. Three, you have your job outside. And now four, you're going to take up presidency. Four things in your life, something's got to give. You can't drop. You can't drop your studies. You can't drop church. Right? You don't want to drop church. But if you were to take this on, you know, what is it going to mean for your life? How is it going to affect your life? And so then I went back home and I thought to myself, what was it that I really wanted? That was my third year. It was a year of applying for internships. Right? What was it that I really wanted in my life? And I came back to this verse, that I may know him. Right? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. For me, it's just focus on that I may know him. All those things way, way far out, right? It's just that I may know him. And so I went back to her after a week and I told her, you know, Jen, I appreciate your offer. You know, I really appreciate you wanting to entrust me with this, but I don't think I can take it up, right? To me, it was just so clear. There's the presidency with every opportunity to succeed in a corporate world. And there was knowing Christ, coming to church, being involved to serve him. I mean, this business club was very intense. Like every week we spend about 30 hours. So if you space it out, right, that's about Mondays to Fridays, 6 hours a day, on top of your regular school and your projects and all the things that you do. And to become president, you are going to have to run with all the teams who are training. You will spend time with them, guide them, and all these kind of things. And you know, to me, it was just so clear. I'm not going to give my time like that. Sure, it can promise me a lot of things out there, right? The trend is that all these presidents all make it great somewhere in the corporate world. But for me, the focus, to know him. And that was what I wanted to pursue. And so, you know, I told her that I don't think I would take it up. And she got upset. She was like, you mean you don't want to take it up? Are you sure? She started to reason with me, you know, saying that this is just 1 year. You know, I'm a Catholic. You know, I know what it means to be religious. You know, why don't you just take a year? you know, just take 1 year. It's just 1 year only. After that, you can go and pursue whatever that you want to do, right? You can pursue your studies. You can give all your time to that. But I'm just asking, 1 year, become president, lead this club. And then that's it. And I told her that, I'm sorry, I can't. That would not be true to what I've set my purpose and pursuit to be in my life. And so then we parted. I felt like I broke up with a girlfriend. she didn't talk to me for 1 year. Like, she walked past me as if, like, you know, I was just, yeah. And so I was like, wow, that's serious, huh? So this is transactional, man. How come got emotions involved? But you know, this was what it was. This was what it is, that I may know him. Purpose in life, pursuit in life. And this was something that I wanted so much for myself. You know, today, this afternoon, I mean, as we come to the end, this is something that I just hope that all of us can be challenged by. You know, one is really to check ourselves, to check our own lives, our own heart. You know, we come here to YPG, the theme for this whole year has been on discipleship. Now, it's at the end of 9 months. You've come to 3/4 of this year. It's just a good time to take stock of your life, to ask, what is the purpose of your life? What have you set as that purpose in your life? And with that purpose, what is the pursuit in life? You see, purpose and pursuit, they come together. You can't split them up. But if this is your purpose, naturally, you pursue it. But if this is your pursuit, it will mean that this is your purpose. And so you can't speak of having a purpose. You know, my purpose is to do this, but nothing of my life is showing for it, right? And it was just good to check our own life. What is our purpose in life? What have we set as our purpose in life? And what are we pursuing in life? And then for us to ask ourselves, as we look at Philippians 3 verse 10, can we make knowing Christ our purpose and pursuit in life? You see, we are all at different stages of life when it comes to our faith. Some of us, you know, we are fairly new to this faith. We are at a discovery stage. We're still trying to find out. We're still trying to learn about who the Lord Jesus is. Some of us are in a stage of development, you know, developing your faith from one level to another. You know, to be distinguished, I think that's only reserved for one man in our church. and the pastor, sorry, three, you know. Pastor Mark, Pastor Mitch, Pastor Charlie himself, most of all. But you see, each of us are all at different stages in life. Right? Different stages of faith. But the challenge is the same for all of us. What is the purpose? Can we make knowing Christ the purpose in our life? The pursuit in our life? Because that is the very thing that will bring us out from one stage to another stage. Right? What gets us from discovering to development? Where we learn to make the purpose of knowing Christ, the knowing Christ the purpose of our life. What gets us from developing our faith from one level to another is that when our purpose and pursuit is all about knowing Christ. And it's just so important to check our lives. This is not something that is just reserved for those in a full-time ministry. It's not that, oh, because you're in a full-time ministry, you can do this fully. You know, all of us are called to be different things in the church. We're called to play different roles in the church. Some are called to be pastors, some are called to support the church in other ways. And this is what the body of Christ is about. We have all different roles to play, but the same goal, same purpose, same pursuit, the same passion must be there. And that is to know Christ. To know him, the person, the life, the power, every single thing about. And so this is the challenge for us this afternoon. Can we check our lives? What is our purpose? What is our pursuit? And then as we consider Paul's own example of purpose and pursuit, can we say that this is something that we want to make our own in our very life? To make the purpose and pursuit of our life to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? All right. Well, with that, I'll end now. And then we'll break off into groups. Okay, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come.
come before you so challenged in our hearts as we consider your word, the purpose of life, the pursuit of life, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you help us to check our own hearts, to be honest and candid with ourselves as we go to our groups later, to evaluate what is the focus, what is the thing in our life that we are pursuing, and how we are meant to make knowing Christ our all-consuming passion. I pray that you will be with us and you will speak to our hearts. Keep us, Lord, in your Son's most precious name. Amen.